3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is time for Exfabula Radio once again, part of Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM. Good afternoon. I'm Bruce Winter, and joining us once again this week, world-famous Desiree Constantino, sitting in for Leah Delaney, who will be home from her globetrotting ways next week. So welcome once again. Good to see you again.
Thanks, Bruce. I think Leah's the one that's world famous now, but I'll take it.
All right. We have a couple of stories today based on the theme, this year being the 50th anniversary of the open housing marches in Milwaukee.
Yeah, we do. Next Tuesday, December 5th, we have our first Secret Fabula of the year, and it's the housing marches through the UWM archives. If you're not familiar with the Secret Fabulas, they're a special event, special storytelling event that is usually for members through Exfabula. So if you're not a member, you should do that now, because then you get into this event for free. And what we do is we go to different locations throughout the city, and we have, say, the proprietors or the people that work at this at these places tell stories about the history of the sites, and then we have other people, you know, people that have been there tell stories as well. So with it being, you know, the 200 days towards freedom and the 50th anniversary of the housing marches, we'll be exploring the UWM archives of the housing marches, which are pretty powerful. And so this weekend we have two stories that touch on those themes of housing and overt and maybe, you know, subversive racism, and then a beautiful story about friends and neighborhoods.
All right, let's do the first one then. Who's up?
The first one is actually an encore. We played this earlier this year, but it really fits in with what we're talking about today, and it's Sue Blaustein from our Only in Milwaukee Story Slam from last April.
I moved to Milwaukee in 1979. I'd grown up in New York. I lived in Madison for 5 years, and I made it here. And tonight, I just went to an event before I came here. It was an open house from an organization that I have a really long history with, the Metropolitan Milwaukee Fair Housing Council. We are going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Federal Fair Housing Act. And my time in Milwaukee, a few years into my time in Milwaukee, I got to intersect with this interesting slice, because Milwaukee has a very rich history in the area of fair housing. I had a really nice upper flat at 41st Street, just north of Hampton Avenue. It was an upper flat above the owners of the house. They were an elderly couple. I was a lot younger then. And it was a great place, great price, close to my work. I worked at W.H. Brady then. And the only thing was the landlord was really nosy. I don't know if that was just a Milwaukee phenomenon, but he was really nosy, very paternal, which I guess was nice. I would come and go. I worked second shift a lot of the time. But somehow he always managed to be at the back door when I was coming or going. Oh, Susan, what are you doing? Oh, you worked overtime on Saturday. Yeah, I thought we saw you leave early. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was feeling a little smothered, but anyhow, nice apartment, good location. I kind of put up with it. Actually, I didn't live there right away, but anyhow, 1983, I started dating a black man, and he would come visit me. And I introduced them to him, you know, because they're always at the back door when I'm going up. You know, and I have decent manners. Hi, you know, this is Maurice. He's a friend of mine. Oh, okay. Anyhow, on Mother's Day, this is great, on Mother's Day, he had spent the night before, And when he left in the morning, and then not long after that, my landlord said, "Susan, can we talk to you?" And I go downstairs. His wife had always been kind of on the quiet side. She says to me, "Are you running a cat house up there?" I was like, "Whoa." And he said to me, "You know, we can't have this, Susan. We have lots of nice things in this house." And I was like, "Okay." Now, I wasn't very strategic about working the law, so I jumped the gun and said, "Fine, I'm out of here." And I found another apartment, but I also had a lot of activist friends. I was an activist, and I knew about the Fair Housing Council. And I went to them and I told them what happened. And they said, "Yeah, you have some recourse, even though it's an owner-occupied building. And there's a lot of details involved. I had to write up a narrative of what happened." They said, "Well, you sure to go back and discuss it with him, because it's better if he actually evicts you." You kind of jumped the gun by, like, "I'm out of here." But anyhow, to make a long story short, they did help me recover. This is, what, 1983. They helped me recover some money from my moving expenses. And I became a volunteer investigator for them as a result of this. And that's a really wonderful way to learn that discrimination and racism doesn't always have that ugly, hateful face where they're just going to say, "No, we don't rent to you people." But the things that I was told when I went to seek a unit, and the things that people of color were told when they presented similar income and other characteristics, the things that they were told about availability, it's like, okay, this has been laid bare, what goes on. And maybe not only in Milwaukee, but definitely a feature of life here. And at 40 years, they still shouldn't be having to pursue these things, but they're alive and kicking.
And that was Sue Blaustein sharing her Only Milwaukee story from last April.
And that kind of very implied, covert kind of racism from not necessarily a landlord, but homeowner, is something that was so pervasive, probably not only in Milwaukee, but you could really notice it when you came face to face with it back in the day.
Oh, exactly. And I think what's also really cool about the story is how Sue got involved with the Fair Housing Initiative and continues to till this day. And, you know, with Milwaukee being one of the most segregated city in the country, we can see that it's still necessary for people like this to be active.
Exactly. This second story that we have today, I listened to it ahead of time, and this is a great one. It is two friends from different neighborhoods. Beautiful story.
Yeah, Elaine Molly and LG Shanklin Flowers, they told a duo story at our Creating a Welcoming Community in Bayview. We did that last May, and basically they did a Rashomon, or a duo story, and they shared their viewpoints on each other's neighborhoods, which are one is on the north side and one is very south side, and both their fears and what they like about each other's neighborhoods and the differences. And it's pretty powerful.
I grew up on the far northwest side. I moved to Bayview as a young single parent over 35 years ago. The rent was cheap. My kids could play in the park. I could walk to the grocery store. Downtown was just a little hop away, and I could get to any other place I wanted to go in about 20 minutes. I'd be lying if I didn't admit that the fact that it was mostly white gave me a sense of safety.
I've lived in the 53208 zip code area for about 30 years, and in Cold Springs Park, which is from 27th to 35th and Valete to Highland since 1997. We moved there because we wanted to live in a neighborhood where people were connected. our daughter could run from home to home, and we knew that the neighbors would be looking out for her. I love the big, old, affordable houses in my neighborhood. And it was also important for me to live in a diverse neighborhood because I didn't want my daughter to grow up being afraid of Black people.
Even though I'm an empty nester now, I want to stay in Bayview. I love my house on the corner of Pine and Morgan. I've owned it for almost 20 years now. And we benefit by an active neighborhood association. I'm a regular at Chill on the Hill and the Farmer's Market. Kids come from all over the place to trick or treat. The neighbors shovel my sidewalks in the winter when I'm gone.
Our home is on 31st and McKinley, and we've been there for quite a while. I love my neighborhood, and I love that people are friendly, and I can come and go and feel comfortable where I am, as well as welcoming my family and friends to my neighborhood.
What I don't like about my neighborhood is the noise. I live on a four-corner stop, and sometimes the traffic is heavy. And cars drive by with the windows open and the music blasting. Sometimes the airplane noise is so loud I can't talk on the phone. Oh, and then there's the trains.
My neighborhood is mostly quiet, at least by 11 o'clock at night. Cars coming by, lots of music, and even though we have speedboats and bumps, cars tend to try to skip over those. Outside of that, that's pretty much my neighborhood. The 53208 zip code area has 32,000 residents. And there's not one major grocery store in my zip code.
I mostly feel safe in Bayview, but I'm cautious. I keep the doors locked. I take my cell phone with me when I go for a walk. A few years ago, a drunk driver crashed into the tree in front of my kitchen window. Another time, I heard a gunshot and found a bullet hole in my living room window. My son's car was stolen. Just the other day, there was headline news about a sexual predator living in Bayview. Yet no one ever asks me why I continue to live here.
Definitely feel safe, though I have to admit, I do lock the door, and I'm cautious. I pay attention to what's going on around me. Occasionally, I'll hear gunshots in the distance, and it's usually around the holidays, 4th of July or New Year's Eve. Mostly, I know that if something was happening, I could run out of my house and run in many directions and find people who would be willing to assist me if I was in trouble or needed help.
When I visit LG in her neighborhood, I'm cautious. I have to fight the noise in my head that says that her neighborhood isn't as safe as mine. I don't want to get lost there. I don't want to be there late at night. And if I saw a large group of Black teenagers, I might go the other way. But you know, because I know that people like LG live in that neighborhood, I'm fairly certain if I got into trouble, someone would help me.
When I come to Bayview, I notice the nice, tidy houses and all kinds of activity going on. And I love Elaine and Tom's house. But I have to be honest, I'm of a generation that the idea of driving south still causes me to get queasy. And as I move down 27th Street south, I notice the neighborhood's changing, and less do I feel like it's a place where I'm supposed to be. When I see signs like I support the badge and Blue Lives Matter, I don't feel safe. When I see a Black Lives Matter sign in Bayview, if I were in trouble, I would feel like I could go there and that person would help me.
And that was Elaine and LG Shanklin Flowers, Elaine Raleigh. And that's how they each see each other's neighborhoods.
And how it has changed over the years, too, I'm sure.
Very much so. And then, again, how some things still stay the same.
Now, the Secret Fabula event is coming up real quick next week.
Secret Fabula is coming up next Tuesday, December 5th. It's from 6 to 8 at the UWM Golda Meir Library in the archives. And tickets are available to non-members. But if you are an ex-Fabula member, you get in for free. So now would be a great time to purchase that membership or give it as a gift because it is the holiday season.
And all information on all the events and other accessories regarding ex-Fabula is at your website, exfabula.org. And if you want to listen again to these stories or share them with somebody, we have them posted at WUWM.com. Desiree, it has been a pleasure these last 3 weeks.
Thank you, Bruce. I've enjoyed it as well.